2 to 3 minutes is usually the length of my Smash sessions too. Yeah, so.
Thank God. I was worried I was the only one picking up on the innuendo. I was like,
okay,
gonna have to call this the Press Smash podcast in a moment.
Anyway.
Hello and welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, and today I'm joined by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Brody.
Hello.
James.
Hello.
And Big Daddy Shannon.
Hello.
Do you know you're still labeled on the call as Big Daddy? On the show today, we've got plenty more to talk about than just that. We're going to be talking about our review of Donkey Kong Bonanza and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4, as well as our reactions to the Ghost of Yote State of Play and some breaking news that happened just before we started hitting record. But first, I'm curious if any of you have any predictions as to what is going to be announced at this new Pokemon Presents that's being announced for next week. Nintendo put out a rather cryptic tweet, which I think features Pikachu in front of like a kind of hi-fi setup or something like that. Shannon, do you have any gut feel as to what this might be?
No, not necessarily. It's a hard one because this was announced so far in advance.
And is all the Pokemon music already in this Nintendo music app?
I don't think it'll be that. That would be funny if it was that.
Are they going to tease something like music related like this? Do you know? Do you reckon maybe? Wait. Maybe Pokemon Guitar Hero or something like that.
Well, there's been some speculation there could be like a rhythm game of some kind, which I think
that's like the only genre that there isn't some kind of that the Pokemon slot hasn't touched yet.
And it could be a mobile game or something pretty simple as well, right?
I mean, there's already 7 of them, right? Like, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like rhythm.
Yeah, like a rhythm. Yeah.
But I thought maybe what about an Alamo? I know they did Pokemon Sleep, but I thought something like gamifying audio somehow, or like a little pocket player or something. I don't know. It would be weird if it wasn't audio, given that was so prominent in that teaser image.
What you're saying, though, is you think it's going to be more than, like, a vinyl release or, as Brody suggested, like, an update to the Nintendo Music app. You're expecting
it's not
going to
be the music app. Like, it could be music on the music app, but I don't think they would lead their stream with that when they just drop, like, every other day in a tweet.
Maybe there's a new Pokemon type. And it's
maybe. Yeah, I could see that.
Music type.
Like a music type.
You know, like fairy type, dragon type, and now there's like music type or audio type. I don't know. Aura. Everyone loves auras now. Everyone aura farms. So like that's, I don't know.
People that would be something if we had some aura farming Pokemon announced. I'd be here for that.
And every Pokemon has an aura farming form and for the new game or something.
James, you're hired. I'm all about this. Just Pokemon should just give you a call. 100%.
He just called them a slop factory, but hire that man.
Let's stop talking about hypothetical games, however cool they sound, though, and talk about real games that James has been busy playing, and that is, of course, Donkey Kong Bonanza. You've posted your review as of this episode being out. People can go and digest it in full, but what did you score the game and why?
So, I landed on another 10. But
two in a row, wow.
Two in a back to back.
Nah, this happened last. I think whenever Wonder came out, that happened then too. There was two games in a row. I can't help it. Sony, Nintendo, Xbox next, who knows? Gears War Reloaded, here we come. I always say this, but it was just really good. I really liked it. which is probably what you can imagine, having given it a 10.
Good in many ways, like, I'd imagine.
Just a very different 10, obviously, to Death Stranding. Like, I think for very different reasons. Where do I start? Such a good game. Like,
I'd
it was
be
just
amazed
a really...
if it was very similar to Death Stranding.
Yeah, well, I mean, you never know. I think there's just so much that I love about it. And my favorite thing is definitely the final act, which obviously I won't talk about here, because I think there's a lot of really cool surprises there that Nintendo has kind of worked pretty hard to keep secret.
I do have a question for you on that, because the spoilers kind of leaked earlier this week. I think people getting their hands on the game early. And my question to you is, like, is there stuff to spoil? Like, is the story so compelling that there'd be elements of it you wouldn't want spoiled?
Yes, I think so. 100%. Yes, definitely.
Particularly in the third act.
Yes, there are some really cool reveals that I don't think... Wow. I mean, I want to say I wasn't expecting them. Until I read stuff that was said, about this, and I was like, oh, fuck, okay. But even still, even knowing it was still really hype. So, yeah, I think, like, talking about, like, the actual game, though, it is a very different game to Odyssey. It's very objectives-focused in terms of, like, you jump into a level and there is something to do in that level, right? So it's not necessarily like Banjo where you've got to, say, collect, or Mario, where you've got to collect a certain amount of collectibles and that lets you move to the next level, so you're not actually hamstrung by that now. And I think that overall that leads to a much better paced game, right? So if you don't want to just go and find 20 bananas to move on for some arbitrary reason, you don't have to. You can just kind of go and focus on the story and get through it that way. The plus side to that is, I guess, because the thing that I would imagine a lot of people would say that is like, it's like a collectathon where you don't have to collect things. And two, I mean, physically, that's true, right? Like, you can finish this whole game without collecting much. But the way that the exploration works with just how you can kind of, you know, shift the terrain, and there's a lot of variety packed into each level in terms of activities and stuff, it is still quite hard to... It's hard to do the objectives, like, without being distracted. It's distracting in, like, all the right ways, which I said about Tears... I said that about a lot. I think even Death Stranding was similar, where these, you've got these open worlds that they're not, like this one especially, Donkey Kong's not as vast or open as Zelda, but it has, it's so densely packed with shit, like, to kind of get you distracted that every activity takes longer than it should. But in a good way, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I would naturally...
It's substantive.
Like, yeah, yeah, and it's just like, and it's just cool. The idea is that, like thinking outside the box, you literally can now smash the box open and go look at what's outside of it, right? Like, so it's pretty cool in that way. it just kept introducing new things for every level. I just think it's always a good sign when I'm playing a game and I don't really want to progress because I don't want it to end. And that's genuinely how I felt with this, and I didn't want it to end. Because it was so good. Not because it was, like, it didn't satisfy me or meet any of, like, you know, my arbitrary criteria I set in my head for what this game should be. I just really loved it. And it's, yeah, I just think it's, like, such an exciting start to the Switch, too. I genuinely don't think Nintendo's ever done anything like this. I don't think it's, I'm not going to pretend that, like, say, Minecraft hasn't done terraforming in this way or whatever, right? Like, it is definitely obviously inspired by games like that, but it's definitely greater than the sum of its parts in that all of these bits come together in this combination we haven't really seen before to offer up something like super unique.
Yeah, I don't even I know what you mean about Minecraft, but I don't think it's like the same. Like, that is what Minecraft is based all around, right? Like, where this is just one of the parts of the game that, like, is obviously crucial to the game, but the way it's done in, from what I've played, just the few worlds, like, it's really interesting, and I'm keen to see if it keeps that up across however many worlds there are.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is, like, so it's not, you've got to think about, say, some parts of the world might be, like, wet, and that means, like, Donkey Kong can't climb them, or they might be hot, and there's, like, obviously ways to... Each type of terrain has, like, rules attached to it in a way, and you kind of need to work out how, with what you know about this game world and stuff, you can overcome
them. Something does sound like Death Stranding.
So it is a bit puzzly in that way. Later on in the game, you get, like, there's a type of, like, terrain called muck, which is just, like, gunk. And the only way to, like, dissolve that is salt. But then the game teaches you how to get through it really early. But then you might find enemies made out of muck, and then you know you've got to kind of work out where you can find some salt to kind of kill those. Like, it just teaches you in a really natural and organic way, and it keeps introducing stuff to you throughout the entirety of the game. It just never gets old. I think it's such an interesting game to me as well. Like I did say in my review, it's an interesting experiment, and I don't mean it's experimental in any way. Like I still think it is quite safe in a lot of ways, but I just think it's not. Nintendo has never really made a platformer like this where it's so. I want to say imprecise, like, you know, it's really just about smashing shit. Like, you don't, it's not like Mario where, like, you kind of have to line up this, throw out Cappy, line up a perfect jump, do a triple backflip, all that kind of stuff. Like, even Astro Bot to an extent, like, those games both have a very, I want to say, like, metronomic. Like, you know, you've got a very, like precise and kind of paced path through each of the challenges.
Yeah.
But this is more...
Quite a lot of timing involved sometimes, that kind of thing.
I was going to say, it's more clumsy, but I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, I think it also perfectly fits Donkey Kong in that way. Like, he is just a big, strong ape. Like, that. So the way that he moves through levels naturally would be quite different to how Mario would move through levels and stuff. And I think it's a perfect fit for Donkey Kong in that way. Like,
something interesting, when I played the game, I don't know, I think it's just the way that my brain is wired. I wasn't really smashing through everything, right? And I don't know if that changes past, like, the first world. But, like I watched someone else playing, I don't remember who it was, and they were just, like, going crazy, smashing down, smashing up, smashing left, right. Like, where I just didn't find myself, like, wanting to do that. Is that the case for the whole game?
I love smashing things.
They were just like going straight down and then like going underground.
That is something else about this game. I find it odd how intoxicating it is to start smashing through stuff.
Letting your anger out. Is that why you're in such a good mood tonight?
Maybe that says more about me. But like, do you know what? I feel like you keeps in my, every time I played and I started a smash, like, I would just keep going. Like,
a
I would
chain
just
reaction.
I don't know.
Smash just on, if you will.
Yeah. The game, and that's the other thing, you randomly, stuff randomly appears, like maps to, say, other bananas or fossils and stuff while you're smashing. So you do get something for doing that. And it's just the right amount of, tingly noises reward and stuff. Like, it feels like a slot machine almost. Like, you kind of get into this, like, flow. I don't know. Obviously, Shannon doesn't, but like,
but we've established, like, that James likes to smash.
For me,
more
it
than
was
Shannon.
Because there's obviously like walls and stuff that you can tell, like you smash through to find a fossil or
absolutely,
like, have a crack. And like, I would obviously go and smash through them, but I watched someone else playing it on a video, and they were just going ham for like 5 minutes smashing through stuff. And I don't know
because it's unlike anything else that's existed before, right? Like, I know, like, Red Faction's done this before, like Minecraft in a way, but like, I don't, like, in a game like this, like, it's, you kind of want to push it as far as you can. And I think they know that too, because they definitely introduced some stuff. Like, I can't tell you how many times I'd smash through into like a pool of lava that I missed, and then it's just like, I'm like on fire all of a sudden and things are not good. Or like, you might smash through like to the barrier and just fall through and die. So like, you do have to be a bit careful, but I genuinely would sometimes just snap out of like a 2 to 3 minute smashing session and be like, where am I? And like, have to like open the map and like reorient myself. And but that's not a bad thing. Like, that is, and you, the shit that you find along that way is so cool.
2 to 3 minutes is usually the length of my smash essence too. Yeah, so.
Thank God. I was worried I was the only one picking up on the innuendo. I was like,
okay,
gonna have to call this the Press Smash podcast action, in a moment.
Anyway,
Celeste.
What's your question, Shannon?
Can you, obviously, when you smash through the world, like it appears on the map and like it stays that way even when you go and come back. Can you like wipe out total maps essentially? Again, I wouldn't know because I wasn't smashing, I was being gentle, but
the way to look at it, I think, is you can technically wipe through a whole world, I guess. And there are some transformations that haven't been revealed yet that allow you to do that much quicker, but the way to think of it is like, say that, like, it's basically, think of it like it's like a pool, right? Like, you've got the hard underside that's been like built, and then it's filled with shit water, but like
filled with shit water. Yeah.
No. But do you know what I mean? Like, and if you took all the water out, like, it's still a designed pool,
Like, the world has, like, a skeleton that you can break everything up, but it's...
Yeah, like, there's, like... Because there are some materials that Donkey Kong can't push through. And, and not all worlds are like that. Like, some worlds are borderless, and you can just, like, smash through them if you want. It just depends on the design and stuff, and because there is a big variety of designs in this game as well for worlds. A lot of stuff Donkey Kong has never done before. So, yes, you could theoretically, like destroy a whole world, and then you can reset it through the map if you get too carried away. but yeah, there are still like some limits and rules to keep things sensible, as I said.
Did you love DK's cheeks? How was that moment for
you? I did, but like, I think you talked them up a bit too much.
That doesn't surprise me.
I was excited to see all of that jiggle, but I didn't get much of that. I don't know.
Maybe you already had it taken away from you with how much I shared.
Maybe. I think that you're more of like...
your videos. Like, we need to scale this back.
Yeah, maybe there's no more jiggle.
I mean, if you're an ass guy or girl, this is... I think that first transformation is for you, but this is the rest of the game is definitely for the people who love the arms on them.
Okay. Right. I'll take any of it. Let's take it all.
So much muscle in this game. But yeah.
Well, he's smashing constantly, so...
It's really fucking good. Like, I can't... It's just so joyous. I haven't felt like this playing a game since, like, Astro Bot or Odyssey, which are still both very different games, still... I just think they did a really
good
job.
The way you were describing it definitely reminds me of, like, the fun I had with Astro Bot, and there was just, like, constantly new things in the world to, like, play with. Like, everything you kind of... hit in the world would kind of react in some like new and novel way, and I'm kind of getting the impression from you that there is just like constant bits and pieces to discover in this game, if that's a fair assessment of what you're sort of saying. There's just always that new thing to tinker with.
Do you think it's better than Odyssey, or is it just different in a good way?
I think it's better. I personally will die on, and I'm going to die on that hill for a long time. And I think
a lot
of people
are miserable now.
I think people
are going
to disagree
about this game.
What was that, Brody?
I'm miserable about this game.
Oh, why?
Because I counterpicked the fucking thing
before it even existed.
Fancy Critic. Oh no, that's a problem.
So
going to taste that clear obscure sting.
Oh, if not worse, it could be worse.
This is definitely better than Odyssey. In my opinion, we're recording this before the reviews go up, so I'm interested to see if anyone else agrees with me. But
I hope not.
I don't know. I think Odyssey, and I'm not going to be one of those people where I'm just going to be like, oh, actually, Odyssey was shit. But I do think the finale of Odyssey was quite meh, in the big scheme of things, and I think this game does a lot to remedy that criticism of mine. But I also think that this is going to be a different game for people. Like, I know I watch a lot of... back in the day, I used to watch a lot of the... You know, people do all these crazy, like, flips and tricks and shit in Odyssey to get the fastest scores and stuff. I don't think you'll have that kind of community for this kind of game because it is such a different type of, like, platformer in terms of, like, just the pacing of it and stuff. But I just think, in terms of the whole package, I just think it is, I personally think, like, in terms of the variety and just the sense of, like, wonder and discovery and just the way that the plot plays out is really cool. But maybe that's also... I should probably preface this. Like, I love Donkey Kong. Like, I've played them since I was a kid, so that is a series that is very, like, near and dear to me. So, I don't know, maybe somebody who isn't as familiar with Donkey Kong will find it as cool as I did. But who doesn't like Donkey Kong?
That's your only hope, Brody. You just got to hope that all the, like, Donkey Kong haters are out there reviewing this game.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, and I'm sure that's what's going to happen. I will say, like, in terms of negatives, to bring it down a bit.
Oh, you've got some.
I do have some, but they weren't personally as effective to me. I think the most, like, clear one that I think a lot of people will talk about is there are some very slight performance issues during some boss battles. And to their credit, like, I've read the interview that came out with the team, I think this week, and I kind of see what they're saying. These happen during parts where, like, say it's a boss who creates and destroys a lot of terrain on the fly, like full screen effects and stuff.
Right.
And they are pretty fucking cool and epic. And they said in these interviews, like, they would have rathered had the openness for the entirety of the game and have these slowdowns at these specific moments rather than completely like murk the entirety of the game, which like I think is like a fine thing, because otherwise I didn't feel performance drops much in this game, if ever. Like, it ran really well, handheld and docked, even when a lot of shit happens. One of these later game transformations, you can create a lot of destruction really quickly, and the Switch keeps up pretty well, considering. So, yeah, there are some performance issues. If you're super sensitive to them, those two boss battles in my 25-30 hours of my first playthrough might ruin the whole thing for you. The other side of things is something I personally don't care about. I never cared about it, and I think a lot of people were disappointed. The story with Pauline is very much like, I think a lot of people were expecting this big grandiose link to like Mario Odyssey or something like that, because she's obviously the same character but younger. There's nothing like that here. Like, she is purely there as like a cute throwback to the fact that Donkey Kong and Pauline were in the game together back in, you know, the Game Boy days. Right. Like, it is a very underused storyline. She's just worried that she can't sing in front of other people. It's basically the plot of Coyote Ugly, so but in Donkey Kong Land. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't personally care about that. I think a lot of like crazy Nintendo people might be upset about that being a little bit average. But yeah, that's like my only two issues.
Okay. All right. You've answered one of my questions there around the kind of performance of it. I was curious about that. And I think it emerged in the week that they were originally developing this for the OG Switch, and it kind of moved to Switch 2 development to kind of make the mechanics of the game as they intended work. And sounds like that was a sensible decision. And I'm pleased that we kind of have this game so early in the life cycle of the Switch 2 to really lean into the extra power that it has. My question to you, James, like more specifically, I guess, as a big kind of Donkey Kong fan, and maybe I'll split this into two parts so you can kind of take two different approaches to it, but is this A, your favorite Donkey Kong game ever, or B, or and B, the best Donkey Kong game ever? Like, if you can make the distinction between your favorite and the best, like, what's your take on that? It's deep in thought.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, like, hard.
Well, it's this or a country game, isn't it?
Well, yeah, DKC2 is pretty good. Like, I'll always have a soft spot for that.
It's the best 3D Donkey Kong.
The reason I... Yeah.
Yes.
They're so different. Like, they're not even really.
Well, the reason I gave you the wiggle room is you might say your favorite is always going to be Donkey Kong Country 2 for whatever, but you could say maybe this is the best of the best one we've seen.
All I can say is I think in, like, I don't know, 5 years' time, I think about when I played Odyssey and I was reacting to that, and I was, and that was like my favorite game for the entirety of the Switch. And a lot of games came out since then. And yeah,
it's a shame it just never got better.
Well, no, obviously there were still some good games, but like I loved Odyssey, I think. Anyway,
yeah,
I think when the dust settles, literally and figuratively, after a big Smash session, I think this is probably up. I think this is equal footing with DKC2 for me, personally.
I think a better question, like with all the challenge levels and stuff. Well, I don't think you can compare Donkey Kong Country to this. That'd be like comparing Odyssey to like Super Mario 3 or something. But there are a lot of like side-scrolling levels in this. So like, how do they come together compared to like a Donkey Kong 2D side-scrolling game? Like, do they feel just like an afterthought, or...?
There's four levels like that in this game. So, it's hard.
That doesn't sound like a lot.
Well, no, it's not. But it's also like, there's over 100 challenge rooms. Like, it's not just all going to be 2D levels again. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They're just cool throwbacks to the old games. Not even just the country games. There's a cool throwback to the arcade one as well. How does it all come together? Yeah, when you play this game 2D, like it's cool to have that kind of like playing through an old game, like because three of those levels are remade from the old game, right? So replaying those with the Bonanza mechanics is interesting because I think you could possibly do something cool with those mechanics in like a longer experience with 2D. But yeah, I think the strongest parts of this game are definitely that kind of exploration heavy 3D world exploring. If that makes sense. Sorry, I think I just like double spoke. But yeah. Yeah, DKC2 is still my favorite. This is very close underneath that, though.
Wow. I think that says a lot.
Yeah, like, and to be clear, like, there's only... The other two DKC games are very good, and the retro 2D games were also quite good. And there was a big fucking lull during the Wii when you just... Every game had the bongo support, and you had to just bang bongos to control them the whole time. DK had a dark time. But I think I can see this being a cool beginning, because I think Nintendo have even said they want to kind of still do a 2D and 3D Donkey Kong, like have them going concurrently. I do wonder what more they can do with the 2D Donkey Kong, having had five games like that now, and they're all very good, like I'm besides the first Returns. But yeah, I don't know. But yes, to summarize, yes, I think it is definitely the best 3D Donkey Kong, even though that's not a tough competition, but it's easily my second favorite or equal favorite with DKC2.
And I'd have to imagine a contender for Game of the Year at this point in time in your mind as well.
Yeah. I don't want to talk too much because the Metroid is due this year. But,
yeah, it's going to be a good year. I mean, you've Metroid's given gonna have two to be... back-to-back tanks. So
honestly, like, at the moment, for me, like, it's like Kingdom Come, Death Stranding, and DK. Metroid would have to be really good. And I still think, I don't know, I don't know if a Metroid Prime game released today. This is like very blasphemous of me, but I don't know if like a game like Metroid Prime can exist today and be the same. I feel like it was a very lightning in a bottle situation, but I'm happy to be proven wrong.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Well, I cannot wait to get smashing myself. It sounds good. It's out tomorrow, right? I mean, we're recording the night before, but I'm assuming it's out today as
Thursday.
This episode being out. Yes. Wow. Exciting times. Going to get to Target to grab one of those deals. Thank you for that article, Shannon. Let's chat about another game review, though. Brody, a game I know you've been very eagerly anticipating. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4. What did you score the game and why?
I scored it an 8 out of 10, Ewan. It is, as 1 and 2 was, a great celebration of two games that I hold very near and dear to my heart. Like, I've said all along that Tony Hawk's 3 in particular was my Tony Hawk growing up. And then obviously I played 4 and the Thug games and stuff like that. But yeah, 3 and 4 were really the start of it for me, and then I sort of went back from there. It is a great opportunity to play those games again, like either if you're a returning fan or if you haven't played the games before, because they are 20 years old plus. There are a lot of things that they do with the design choices, as I've sort of touched on in the preview. Like, they completely reworked the format of 4, which was open world when it came out back in the day, to obviously keep it more in line with the 2-minute format that Tony Hawk is known for. This, I think, was a big point of contention for a lot of people. I respect the decision. Like, I like consistency in a product like this. And to, I guess, have 3 games in a collection of 4 games be the same and have the 4th one be completely different would be kind of jarring, especially if you're new into it. That said, they go further than that as well with a lot of these levels. Like, even in 4... they repurpose some levels entirely. Like, I don't know if any of you have played a Tony Hawk, but say of the 8 levels that it might be available in a certain game, like 3 of them are like competition levels where it's just basically about scoring and getting a gold medal against other skaters and stuff, whereas all the others have objectives and goals to achieve and stuff like that. In 4, famously, like, Kona was, like, one of the worst levels and was voted one of the worst levels in a Tony Hawk game ever. So instead of bringing that back with goals this time around, they've just made it one of the competition levels, which I think suits it a lot better. It makes it a bit more palatable because you can just focus on scoring and things like that. So obviously, aside from that, they obviously add their own new parks to the game, which I would say fit in very well, which, you know, might sound like a diss when you're talking about a 20-year-old game, but I think the level design in the original games are so good that the fact that they're able to, like, insert their own parks into this and have them feel very natural, I think, is a huge commendation to Iron Galaxy. And I think, it really holds them in good stead if Activision want to sort of, pick this series back up and, you know, try and make a new game or something like that, I think they would definitely have the pedigree for that now to be able to, yeah, craft a whole new experience. So that's exciting from that perspective. And obviously the Tony Hawk feel of the game, which is very much untouched from 1 and 2, like that was one of the conditions of them making this, was that they really didn't tamper with the feel of the game, which Vicarious Visions established in the 1 and 2 package. So in terms of how it feels, like it's still like phenomenal, just arcade skateboarding at its absolute height. So yeah, that's all the good. There are a few things that I don't really like about it, like create a skater on this occasion, like, is woefully limited compared to 1+2. Like, it's to the point, like, I was obviously, I don't dabble in creating a character too much because I'm a fairly standard looking dude, but standard default white male, that's me. But like, I was hearing,
are you just trying to emulate yourself as best as you can, or yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really. There's like 20 fairly odd looking faces that are like just the defaults. You can't really, there's no sliders for anything, and it's like to the point where like you, there's not even like an option to put glasses on your character, which obviously if you wear glasses, that's crazy. Like Shannon couldn't make himself right now, like if he wanted to, so that's weird. The soundtrack, as good as it is, because like the tracks they have chosen are good, like it's like, I think I read it's like 10% of the original soundtrack from the original 3+4 is returned. And there are a few like really key and integral songs that like are just burned in my brain from like those first games that are like missing, like Blitzkrieg Pop by the Ramones. You're missing like TNT by AC/DC and Number 4, which are like the feature songs just about. So it's a shame. Of course those you can. Things.
Was the first two game like 1 and 2 like that? Was the licensing...
Licensing was, yanked. I guess, similar, but not to the same degree. Like, more of those soundtracks definitely came back in the 1+2 versus this one. Like, this one, it's like, yeah, like I said, 10%, which is crazy. Like, the 1+2 was probably closer to 50% maybe. And
I
like,
do
there's
appreciate the effort to like kind of modernize the soundtrack and like capture the same sort of vibe, but drawing from more contemporary.
Absolutely, music and absolutely.
Artists,
like I said,
yeah,
the soundtrack
I
is good.
The complaint all the same.
Yeah, the
but
soundtrack
I also
is
think, like. The vibe is so of that time at the same time. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But but there's even examples where, like, Iron Maiden, for example, like, in Number 4, they had Number of the Beast was in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4. It's not in this game, but for some reason they've just said, oh, here, you can have 2 minutes to midnight instead, which is, in my opinion, a markedly lesser song. Like, Number of the Beast is goated. But, yeah, so it's just a weird little mix and mash of, like, new, old... substituted songs that, again, is still good, but I feel like it sort of doesn't hit quite as hard as it did with 1+2. And they've changed the player progression around a little bit this time around, which is good and bad, because 1+2, it was like a massive grind to get to like level 100, pun intended. So there's like no leveling at all in this game now, obviously, outside of like stat points that you assign to your characters and stuff like that. It's more just all goals and stuff that you're trying to get to now. But I feel like it's different to 1+2, because you could sort of tackle solo tours and all that sort of stuff as you went, but this time it like gates a lot of things behind completion of other things, which I feel like is very standard classic game design. But I think today, like, and as someone who I think I'm like pretty okay at these games, like I don't really want to have to go through the rigmarole of smashing through this and this to get to these things, which is probably the level I want to start at. Like, it'd be akin to like me playing a Guitar Hero game today and having to play through all of Easy first to get to Expert or something like that. Like, it was just a little like, yeah, I was just like, let me at it, just let me get to it. But yeah, I mean, all in all, it's still a great celebration of two games that are, you know, still great today. It does bring like new skaters into the spotlight as well. Like, obviously that's one of the good things about this. Like, they've re-scanned all the old skaters in at their current age. Like, you know, Tony Hawk's in there at like 55, 56 years old, but they've got all like new upstart skaters like Andy Anderson and stuff like that, and Chloe Cavell in there as well. So it's a big roster. It's a lot of like, yeah, a lot of cool stuff. Like, the Secret Skaters are a little bit of a letdown, in my opinion. Like, the Secret Skaters were literally, like, Bam Margera, Andy Anderson, and I think Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles. And I'm just like, okay, cool. Like, when you think, like, Tony Hawk 3 had like Wolverine and Darth Maul, and you know, Eddie from Iron Maiden was in like number 4 and stuff. It's clearly a step back, but I understand
maybe
why.
Maybe they come in time. Like, could they add those after the fact, do you think?
They might, but it'll be behind a paywall, which is like the shit thing as well. Like,
Doom guys behind a paywall,
like Revenant's behind a paywall. I don't know. It's just not in the spirit of Tony Hawk, that, I don't think, because they've always been like really cool about Secret Skaters and stuff. Especially when like they don't really have to license Doom because like Xbox owns it. So
yeah, true.
Yeah. But yeah, all in all, still really enjoyed it. I'm still playing it now.
Nice.
But yeah. Look, it's on Game Pass as well, so there's really no reason not to give
have
it a go.
Have you come across the Bikini Bottom Easter egg?
I have, yeah. And I think there's another Easter egg in one of the other levels where you can go down into the Ninja Turtle sewers.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, but the Bikini Bottom one is really cool. Like, you go off the mast of a pirate ship and you go through the floaty, and then suddenly it's like, I can't remember what it says, but it comes up with the splash screen. It's like, 2 seconds later, or whatever it is, and then you're in Bikini Bottom all of a sudden. So, it is cool, but it went by really quick because I drove off the world and then I was gone, so.
Interesting. I can't say I've ever really gotten into like a skating game, like with the exception of like playing, it must've been one of the Tony Hawk games, like at a mate's place or whatever. Is that kind of game that like, you know, you'd hang out at their place after school or whatever and play.
I was listening to Kind of Funny, and I actually heard like Tim, describe these Tony Hawk games as like almost like platformer games. And I kind of get that. Like, it kind of is, because it is about, like, you know, collecting things in hard-to-reach places, and, like, you got to try and find a way up there, whether it's, like, grinding and stuff like that. So, I can see the comparison, I can see what he's talking about, and if you sort of approach them that way, they can be a bit more palatable if you don't really have a penchant for skateboarding, I suppose, so.
Yeah. I think the soundtrack alone should get me into a bit as well, even if it is changed, but I guess I don't have
Denzel Curry, bit of Denzel Curry, bit of Lupe.
Yeah.
There you go.
Very cool. Excellent. Thank you for your reviews of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4, and of course Donkey Kong Bonanza before those. Do check out James and Brady's full reviews on each of those over on the website, of course, where you'll find the latest news about the Legend of Zelda movie cast as well. This kind of broke just before we started recording the show, so we're kind of like digesting this in real time as we go. But Shannon, I trust you'll correct me if I get any of this wrong. Nintendo tweeted announcing the cast for the upcoming Zelda movie. It's not coming out until 2027. And it's revealed that Benjamin Evan Ainsworth would be playing Link, and Bo Bragason, I think her name is, will be playing Zelda. Shannon, first to you, what are your initial thoughts on the cast?
Not familiar with their game.
It's a tough one. But they look like they could be Zelda and Link, I guess. As for what the movie is going to be or like what that could involve, I've got no idea. But yeah, they look the part. Then they're not super well known, which I kind of like. Which I like for something like this.
James, do you know them from anything? The two cast members?
No.
No. What are your thoughts on them otherwise, then? Help me out here.
Great, I guess. I don't know. They are young, right? Like, I think, are they going more the Ocarina of Time, like, first half of that game kind of route, where they're kids? Well, obviously they are, because they look quite young.
They're always, like, quite kiddish. Like, how old are they in the latest, Breath of the Wild and Tears?
Nah, Zelda looks very adult in, like...
He's a grown-ass man.
In, like, the last 6 games. Twilight Prince... Not but, is he.
Yeah, they're she. Elvish. Like,
he's a grown-ass boy.
Typically look young despite being old and stuff.
Yeah, like. They always seem... Young.
No. Go and look up, like, me. Twilight Princess Zelda, like, right now.
More like edgy teenager.
Yeah, I agree.
I will say.
I'm talking about Zelda, and y'all are saying he. Like, I'm talking about...
Sorry.
My God.
I was thinking Link.
Yeah. I said they, James, so listen. Okay.
Anyway... my big thing with
and
this
she's
is like,
19 in Twilight Princess, so that is young to me.
Well, this actress is 21, so yeah, that's all good.
She's not a 50-year-old hag, like
Jesus,
wandering around Hyrule.
Anyway,
well,
I'm intrigued to see how this plays out. Like, is it going to be talking Link or like just you know? Text boxes.
They're just going to mumble at each other for 2 hours.
Yeah, like Donkey Kong noises.
I reckon there's going to have to be dialogue.
It'd be a fucking strange movie.
Yeah, you would. I mean, from Link specifically.
Is there something to them both being English? Like, is that anything to read into?
What do you mean? Do you
want to know? They're Turkish. Both...
Should they have
the British like, just make good God. Actors. I don't know what to tell you. They just
like, do you? I don't know. Yeah, I feel like
it's a very last, British thing for fantasy. Like, you know,
the last two Zelda games had British actors for like Zelda. So, sure, I don't know.
It's meant to be.
I don't know. It's a strange. My thing only to read into.
Touchstone in any of this is that Benjamin Evan Ainsworth was like the kid, the creepy boy in The Haunting of Bly Manor. Which I did think he was really good at. And he was obviously very young, I'd have to imagine, when he played that role as well. So as far as I can say in that thing, I sort of rate his acting credentials. But yeah, I've got hope for this movie. I think it like lends itself to like a fantasy adaptation very well. So yeah, I think they just have to kind of find a bit of a story in it, because obviously there's not really kind of much to, well, that's maybe an unfair generalization, but yes, like it tends to follow like a pretty well established
it's a hero's
story,
journey.
Yes, I would. It's a hero's journey. It's a you know, go and save the world sort of arc, right?
There's like a lot of material to
I hope
pull
there's
from,
some more surprises to it in that. I think the Ocarina of Time, if they lent in more of that sort of story structure, that could be really interesting.
Imagine a Majora's Mask sequel.
Just make that. That'd be good.
Yeah. But we're going to have to wait. 2027. Still a while
it's
away.
Not that long. I reckon.
Yeah, true.
Time something to stay alive for.
Yeah.
We're going to be smashing it up in Donkey Kong.
I'm filling up my
list. In that time anyway.
I got Resi 9, Metroid Prime, Zelda movie, and now Donkey Kong movie. So...
They'll just carry you over there.
Yeah,
I've got one more news piece that I wanted to wade into today, and that is the Ghost of Yote State of Play. New gameplay features were revealed in the in-depth showcase, including new weapons, the ability to switch between present and the past, and two new modes, one that adds more blood effects and another that adds a lo-fi soundtrack. Who do I want to come to first on this? I think I know where I'm going to get the kind of negative view on this. So Shannon, maybe I first come to you for a positive view.
Wow.
What did you make of the gameplay?
I'm also not the biggest Ghost fan. I feel like it was
I'm alone.
It's not that I didn't like it. I just didn't play a heap of it for whatever reason. But it looks good. It looks very nice. I like the additions.
Beautiful gowns.
Beautiful gowns.
Maybe
I like
at
the
a
beat.
Chronological mode, Shannon might play it.
Yeah, exactly right. The lo-fi mode was cool. I like what they did with that. And I like that you can have, like, sidekicks in the wolf.
Okay.
And whatever else.
Winning me back.
I don't know. It looks good. The first one didn't grab me for whatever reason, so I don't know if this one will. But it is really popular. Like, it's one of the most popular games that I've ever written about in terms of, like, interest for all the accessories. And I think the State of Play already has, like, 5 million views, which is nuts because... Again, for me, it didn't grab me, but it seemed to have grabbed a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm a big Ghost of Tsushima fan. I kind of found a love for the game like quite late. I think when I first kind of started playing it, I was like, yeah, this is good, but I kind of like got distracted and fell out of it halfway through. But I eventually kind of went back to it, finished the game off, really loved the story, and then spent like 150 hours playing the multiplayer mode, Ghost of Tsushima, the Legends mode. So I'm a little bit disappointed we haven't seen any sign of something similar for Yotai, but I'm sure like that will come, like assuming the game finds the same sort of success, it wouldn't surprise me if that comes down the line. I must admit, I wasn't like a huge fan of like the lo-fi soundtrack mode. Like I appreciate that it's there. I have zero interest in playing it that way. I'd much rather kind of just play it as they intended. But I thought all the different language options that they had, like you can kind of play it with the Japanese dialogue and English subtitles, all of that. Glad to see all of that kind of come back. I do think the ability to kind of switch between different weapons kind of on the fly, and that being the kind of version of stances in Yotai, interesting. I quite liked this like stance system in Tsushima. Didn't particularly feel like an evolution of that was like all that necessary, and I guess it kind of strays a little bit from what I kind of think of in terms of the combat and the style of Ghost of Tsushima, but no doubt they'll kind of find ways to kind of expand on it and or like it act as a bit of a stand-in to the stances. So yeah, I'm very excited for this. I must admit I'm curious for your perspective on this, James. I would be more excited for this year if Assassin's Creed Shadows hadn't come out. I just feel like this...
I think narratively, they are stepping in very familiar territory. And I understand that the plot is... Both games are obviously clearly inspired by Japanese cinema in a big way.
Uh-huh.
So naturally, there is going to be some crossover. But yeah, as a neutral party, like, I do think, like, surely you can come up with something. Well, I mean, it's too late now, but something else besides, like, somebody is wronged and now she's going to hunt down all the people who wronged her. Like, I don't know. I agree. Like, I think it is quite a very milquetoast story.
Yeah. I think there are, like, I'm seeing from Ghost of Yota, I'm seeing, like, elements of it that kind of feel... for lack of a better term, like a more polished, like premium experience to like Assassin's Creed Shadows, like the kind of switching between the past and present, the kind of different like on the fly weapon changes, like that all seems much more seamless and like in the moment, whereas that's quite clunky in Assassin's Creed Shadows to kind of get that. And I sort of feel like it will be paced sort of better as well in terms of its kind of story. I mean, you could kind of just chalk that up to just like a different design and a different approach for sure. I do think I'll probably enjoy Ghost more than AC Shadows. But yeah, I'm also feeling like having played much Assassin's Creed Shadows, I'm maybe a little bit kind of burned out on the kind of feudal Japanese kind of style of game at the moment. Yeah, I think it's more just like a contextual sort of thing. I know as soon as I'm running through those flowers going faster on my horse, though, I'm going to be loving it, and I'll have forgotten I said any of this. Brody, what
I'm
about
you? I'm happy
you're happy. Are you excited for this at all?
Look, I am similar to Shannon. Like, I probably played the first little bit of the first game, but I haven't finished. Like, as soon as it opened up, I was like, I'm out. But look, I've got a lot of skin in the game here. Like, I need this game to hit. This is my fantasy critic darling that it's the only chance I have at this point. So, look, maybe...
I love how all of Brody's insights about the games is just where they stand.
It's around fantasy critic.
I'm really invested. Yeah, like, Shannon, fun. He suddenly cares because he's a chance to win. But
it's gonna make your life miserable. That
all hinges on Ninja Gaiden. Which one, though? That's the mystery.
That's right. He'll never know. He'll never know which one. But look, maybe it's through pure superstition alone. But I didn't watch the state of play, so I have nothing meaningful to add. But again, I'm happy that you're excited. I'm happy the game is receiving positive excitement because, man, I need this. A whole guild needs this.
I think someone counts picked it too, right?
Yes, I think James did.
Fancy critic. Yeah, okay.
Classic, really, isn't it?
I didn't counter pick because I thought it would review bad. I counter picked it because I didn't think it would make this year.
So yeah.
That's all that came from.
You're a full...
Considerable egg on your face.
I don't know. I just...
Well, I counter picked Donkey Kong, so fuck me.
To be fair...
That didn't exist, though.
I really thought
it was going to be a Mario platformer, man. I really thought...
I'm surprised that you didn't drop it, given, like, your other shady drops that you've done throughout the year. Like, you could easily
drop what?
Donkey Kong.
I can't... What do you mean? It's not my game.
He can't, can it?
You can drop a counter pick.
Yeah, I don't think
you
can.
I don't think
you
can.
You could. You can't now, but you could.
But it was locked in as soon as the game was announced.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
I could have dropped it.
Before it was announced.
But I wouldn't have dropped it before it was announced because I still didn't think it would exist.
About dropping as well.
Sorry?
Let's not talk about where you don't want dropped.
I am resentful of these accusations.
Counterpick, actually.
Anyway.
No, you can't. That'd be stupid.
Anyway.
I'm confused where we're at, but anyway.
You can drop something if it hasn't been counterpicked. Once it's counterpicked, let's move on,
because nobody cares about this except us.
Everybody cares.
Who? Tell
everybody,
us.
Everybody. If you're listening, all listeners.
We'll need to do a catch-up episode soon, see where everyone's at. Yeah. I've got a full list now.
I also have a full list, and only five games still to release. Or actually, no, four, because Marathon's not coming out this year.
it might. So, you never know.
Yeah, it could be interesting. I have a rapid-fire question for you all before we head to What the Wiki. And that is that Freddy the Fish, a personal favorite point-and-click edutainment game from my childhood, is coming to the Nintendo Switch as part of a five-game collection. I'm curious to ask each of you, is there a game from your childhood, ideally in this edutainment sort of genre, but I'll stretch it out to like whatever game you want, is there a game that's kind of integral to your childhood that you'd like to see come back?
I thought you were gonna ask us how keen we are for Freddy the Fish, and I was gonna say surely you could tell by nobody engaging.
No, I sent the trailer into our group chat and no one reacted.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't recall that.
I thought Freddy the Fish might have been like a publisher of games, and it was like a group of games that were coming across.
When we say like child, are we talking like school games, like
edutainment games? I'm thinking that sort of genre.
Yeah,
because I mean, it's like very like edutainment.
For me,
Zumbinis, yeah, that sort of kind of.
There were two
early childhood. I was going to say MS DOS, and it was the point and click in the Haunted Mansion.
Well, Hugo's House of Horrors, whatever it is.
No, not a no.
I used to play games called Math Rescue and Word Rescue, and I loved those games.
Yeah, I remember that.
They were like platformers where like you had to solve math puzzles and type words out and shit. I fucking loved them.
Okay. I played Math Circus in primary school an awful lot.
Math Circus.
Carmen Sandiego, which has just had a resurgence and I haven't played, so I'd be lying if I said I was waiting for that.
Did you just Google edutainment games, or are you trying to find this one?
Day of the Tentacle is one of the ones, but that's not the one I'm talking about. But I used to play that a lot as like a...
What about like
7 or 8 year old?
That's a pretty standard.
Like something like Jill of the Jungle.
Oh, Jill of the Jungle, Secret Agent, games like that.
Jill of the Jungle, or like
MS DOS was odd. Like they were on one.
Jack Rabbit, remember all that?
Cliffy B.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I think Neopets, RuneScape, they were all.
Yeah,
Scunny. I think we've had a discussion about Scunny before.
Yeah, we've talked about Scunny.
Dodgy.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Honestly, I was like emulating Mario Kart 64. That was just my childhood as well. Just
do you remember Wacky Wheels? 64. Or Wacky Races?
I think we've spoken about that as well.
I think it's Wacky Wheels.
We also have spoken about that, yeah.
yeah, we have, yeah. Of course.
I think, my childhood games were like Donkey Kong Country 2.
Yeah.
I was like...
I think I was actually playing Doom when I was like 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, weirdly, like, I played Freddy the Fish and Pajama Sam and stuff like that. This is, like, we're talking like
Pajama
early
Sam.
Primary school years here.
Yeah. I like that your childhood games are like.
But then at the same time, like my parents are like, oh, here's Duke Nukem 3D as well. You can play that MS DOS.
I remember all my school computers had the Incredible Machine.
Incredible Machine.
Remember that? It was like it was basically like just like a create. What about Simpsons Cartoon Studio?
Oh, I think I do remember this.
Oh, Virtual Springfield? I had that. They should bring that back. Virtual Springfield. That was
bring it back as a VR game. That'd be huge.
Or what about...
this is a good rapid fire.
Yeah.
Maybe we should move
it on. Kind of is rapid fire away. We're just like throwing games out there.
Yeah. Well,
tell us your favorite edutainment game from whatever decade you were born in.
What the Wiki is the Press Start podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, and the round ends after someone's bagged themselves 2 points. As last week's winner, Brody, will be in the hosting chair. He narrowed the gap between him and James. I'm in first place on 21 points. James, you're in second place on 19. Brody, you're on 18, just a point behind James. Shannon, you're on 10. And Harry is bringing up the rear on 4. So, Brody, if I were you, I'd be trying to get games that Shannon's going to guess and just kind of have him narrow that gap and otherwise do yourself a favor. Let's see what you've got in store.
I have too much integrity and respect for what the wiki to be playing games like that. So, look, nevertheless, I do have a bit of a theme. So, maybe if you guess the theme, we'll give bonus points, unless it's James or Ewan. So, but anyway, let's go with the first game. Okay. The game is an action role-playing game. It has elements characteristic of the Souls-like genre. The game is played in single-player mode from a third-person perspective. The player controls blank. The protagonist's weapon is a staff, much like the Ryu Jingu Bang from the novel. Ewan.
Is this... oh, God. I'm blanking on the name now. Wulong Fallen Feathers?
No.
No.
I'm confused if that's actually a game or not.
No, he messed that
up. Wuchang Fallen Feathers.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say.
Either way, no. The staff can extend and shrink in size during combat. The different staff stances, the smash, pillar, and thrust stance, provide versatility.
Let me know when I'm back in.
In the moveset during battles, you're back in.
Is it
Ewan? Oh, are you going? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, is it Black Myth Wukong?
It is Black Myth Wukong. Well done,
Ewan. Let's go! I feel like we had that game very recently, which is why I thought it might have been Wuchang, but...
Yeah, or Wolong Fallen Dynasty or Wuchang Fallen Feathers.
Yeah, I think maybe that's what I did, just confused a couple.
You certainly did. All right, Ewan, 1 point. Well done. Bringing you up to... Is that 20 now? No, you're in front. You're out in front. Shit. All right, better give the next two to James. All right.
Wolong Fallen Dynasty. That was it. Yeah, that's exactly what I'd done.
Second game. The game is a survival game played from a third-person view. In the game... Players control a member of something, and you have to manage the player's player character's health by eating, drinking, and sleeping. The game starts in a jungle in prehistoric Africa, an open world filled with threats including...
Ewan. Ooh, prehistoric Africa. Is this Ark Survival Evolved?
It is not Ark Survival Evolved. James.
No. Is this Ancestors?
Do you have the full title?
The Humankind Odyssey.
That is correct. Well done.
Oh, wow.
Good pull. All right.
That's a
now, I'm going to throw to a game here that I'm not sure any of you will have heard of, so this will be interesting. But I don't know if anyone's picking up on a theme. So
I am.
Keep that in mind.
No,
you haven't.
I haven't, but James is on something, come on, apparently.
Ewan. All right. Third game. Possibly for all the marbles. The game is a single-player, beat-em-up video game played from a top-down perspective. The player controls a gorilla, running through a maze while evading gun-wielding humans. The enemies can be killed with a single attack, grabbed, or used as a shield. Shannon.
Ape Out?
It is Ape Out. Well done.
Isn't that the game I said that Ewan got?
I don't know.
The controversial one from like 2 weeks ago. Wasn't that Ape Out?
I don't know. I might not have been on that episode.
When I said Ape Out and Ewan said Ape Out.
I wasn't fucking on it, mate. I didn't listen to it.
I'm talking to the other two gronks that are like looking at me like I'm insane.
I'm not just looking at you.
I wasn't sure if it was that game.
I'm sorry to all the listeners for doing a repeat like two episodes later. But
that's good for me.
Yeah.
That's great.
Now, this is a genuine tiebreaker then.
Genuine tiebreaker, yeah.
Here we go.
I wasn't listening for the first two games, so I'm glad to be here.
Have you got the theme yet, Ewan?
No. Oh, wait, yes. I do.
Wasn't this my theme 2 weeks ago as well?
Yeah.
It was a really? Okay, there you go.
Yes.
I really should listen to the content.
Previewing Donkey Kong Bonanza, probably.
And Black Myth was in that same
Black
thing.
Black Myth was in that too, yeah.
Shannon, think about this, because in preparing this, I reckon there was only about fucking four games to choose from, so you should probably know what this one's going to be. All right. Last game for all the marbles. The game combines brawler combat with exploration gameplay. Following blank... as he travels across the titular island after the death of his parents. Blank can perform a light attack, a heavy attack, or a targeted super jump and can heal by collecting edible plants. Very dynamic. Enemies include both the island's basic wildlife and several named bosses faced in dedicated arenas. Joe DeVito, writer and illustrator of the novel, Blank, was involved with the development of the game. he stated, "I could not be more excited to be working with Game Mill Entertainment's talented Ewan. Team." Ewan.
Oh, James.
Next. Yeah, because I'm not going to get this title right, but I know what it is. Is it Return to Monkey Island? Something like that.
Oh, no. No, it's not.
What is it?
Is James going?
Something Monkey Island.
Oh, actually, I don't think I know this. I don't know what it's called.
Hmm.
Is it Kong Skull Island?
Oh.
Technically not, no.
Shannon.
Shannon. Don't Google it, you sneaky dog.
Don't.
Yeah, why did he just like immediately...
Why did he posture?
I'm not Googling anything. Why did he posture like he had his mouse? You can't even remember the name you said 2 weeks ago.
What?
I don't know what it is either. King Kong.
No. Do we just keep throwing titles out? Now we all know the game we're talking about.
That's all I've got.
The much maligned game that was critically panned.
Yeah, I know.
Came out in 2023, has a Metacritic average of 23 out of 100. Yes, James.
Is it like, it's like Kong Revenge of Skull Island, Revenge of Kong Skull Island or something?
No.
No?
I mean, some of the words are right, it's just...
Is it King Kong the movie, the video game?
No, that's a different one. That's a different one, Ewan. That's Peter Jackson's King Kong, the video game presented by Peter Jackson's King Kong.
That's it, thank you. Yeah.
Or some bullshit.
And then in brackets, the official game of the movie.
I remember there being one about Skull Island.
Yes, that's right.
But I can't remember what it's called, like, other than what these guys already said.
So,
are you being specific? Is it King Kong Skull Island? Because James only said Kong Skull Island.
Is that your guess?
Yeah, King Kong Skull Island.
No, that's not right. what I will tell you is that it's Skull Island something, something, something.
Oh.
Skull Kong's Island. Big something. Kong's Big Day.
It's not Kong's Big Day.
Skull Island, let's smash.
Skull Island, King Kong Returns.
No.
Skull Island, Revenge of Kong.
No, but closest so far.
Ewan.
Skull
Island, Return of the Kong.
No, I don't know why you added that.
Skull Island, Return of Kong.
No.
I feel like Return was in there somewhere too.
Skull Island, Kong's Revenge?
No. This is good though, I like this.
What is this game?
I think James has been close, Ewan has been close.
Skull
Shannon's
Island
here.
Conquest.
Sorry? No. Kong's Conquest. Give me a spell.
Kong's Conquest.
Skull Island. Return of Kong.
No, we've had that.
Oh, yeah. Have
This is like the worst pub trivia night ever.
Skull Island, Revenge of Kong.
I think we've had that too.
Yeah.
Skull
Is it revenge something or like an R something?
Nope.
No, okay.
It's you just need to land on the first word of those three. The others, everything else is correct. It's one different word at the start of that subtitle, if you will.
Right.
Skull Island, Revenge of Kong. Wait, where are you?
We've had that. That's the last thing you said.
It sounds like it should be bad.
Look, it sounds like it should be, but it's not.
Wait, Skull Island, Rise of the Kong? Rise of Kong?
It is Skull Island, Rise of Kong. Well done.
Yeah!
I almost was not going to give it to you because you said Rise of the Kong, but you corrected yourself.
Rise of Kong, yeah.
Clown points. They're worth half.
Yeah. Well, that was actually thoroughly entertaining.
That was exhausting.
That was a marathon.
I hope that was
so
as entertaining for everyone.
Does that you and what's that put you in on like 23?
23. Yeah.
Huge.
And James is on 20.
Somehow defending this lead.
Yeah.
I'll need to pick some sort of animal that I can kind of theme all of my my games around next week as well. But with that, let's bring it into what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at pressstart.com.au. We've been joined today by Brody.
Thank you. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG.
Also joining us today was Shannon.
Yes, you can follow me at Shannon Grixty.
and just doing a smashing job, it was James.
Huh.
What?
Smashing.
I lost.
Because you just spoke about smashing so much at the start of the show.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on X at James, A-T-J-A-M-Z.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. We'll be back again next week. But until then, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.
Ciao.